Have your Bibles this morning. Isaiah chapter 6 brings us to another characteristic of God. We've looked at the God is a God of love, and we've looked at a God of compassion. This morning, I'm going to look at one word that probably most people don't understand and don't realize what it's caused God to do. And that is the fact that He is holy. Now, the Hebrew word holy is sacred, that's set apart. It means something very special, but it has the connotation that it's for God. Holy. Now, when you and I see the Lord, we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to be holy. We'll get to that in a minute. But the Greek word holy, hagios, is to set apart to God. You'll notice that both words mean set apart. Now, let's take just a minute and realize that the holiness of God was what caused God to look at Adam and Eve after they disobeyed and remove them from Eden and put an angel with a fire and a sword that said you can never come back. Not in the Garden of Eden. You see, God is so holy. He is so pure that you and I cannot even imagine. If you notice Isaiah 6, the verse that Jeremy did not read, verse number 5, notice if you would, then said I, as a result of seeing the holiness of the Lord. Remember verse 3? One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We sort of skip over that. If we saw an unbelievable catch in football or an unbelievable shot in basketball, we might say, unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. The angel in heaven sees the Lord and he can think of one word. Holy. 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 In other words, God is not like anybody in this room. He is pure. Now can you understand why Joshua was walking and the Lord met him because the bush was burning and didn't burn up, and Jesus looked at him and said, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is on holy ground. I am here. And Joshua falls on his face. Holiness is not a word Americans truly understand. I'm not sure humans, us, can comprehend the depth and the breadth of the word holy. Not only does the God of heaven not say bad words, he's never thought one. Man created them all. And God looks at it and says, makes me sick in my stomach. Years ago, we had a missions conference, and we were in the fellowship at the end of the conference on a Sunday night, and it was the big meal. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, all the gym is filled with food from all different countries, Well, how many of you know who Alan Sutphen is? He's our missionary to Africa. He's not a nice guy in most cases. He loves to play tricks on people. Well, you know, I go by to every table. Now, I try to get by to as many tables as I can and get something from each table so that, you know, people put a lot of work into it. I don't want them to feel like, you know, I'm not interested. And so he comes up and gives me a balut. Wait a minute. How many of you do not know what a balut is? See your hand. Well, it's so disgusting, I can't even describe it to you. It is actually it's the duck or the chicken or whatever it is in the egg that's hatched or ready to hatch, and you break it and eat what's in there, raw. Well, I want you to know something. I'm from Texas. I've never even seen anything like that. We crack our eggs and cook them, you know. And I want you to know, he said, Pastor, I got a balut for you. What is that? Give me, I'll take one of those. I looked at it. It would not go down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It was disgusting to me. Now, here I am. Here's our missionary standing right there. I got it for you. Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this. My stomach is rolling. Lord, could we never have another missions conference the rest of our lives? I mean, I'm just struggling every way in the world. So I try to take the first bite, and I can tell it's not going to go down. So I just sort of said, thank you, and walked on around. Now, I looked at that. That's one of the few things that's just turned my stomach. Hey, I was a plumber's kid. I grew up cleaning out toilets and sewers and sinks. And I mean, stuff doesn't bother me. But a balut, oh, no. Now, God cannot look upon sin. He is so holy in heaven that the angels look at him and say, oh, holy. So when you and I lose our temper, get bitter, curse, make fun of someone, look at the wrong pictures or have a little bit of sin here or there, God goes, oh. So when Adam and Eve directly disobeyed God, it was like, oh, they can't be near me. They're sinners now. So then, sin got worse in the first six chapters of Genesis to the point where Genesis chapter 6, it got to the point where every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually, the whole world. God said, I can't take it. So does anybody know what he did? He erased the world with a flood. Because of his holiness. And that is why nothing you and I can do is good enough to make us stand before a holy God and say, it's me. Can I come to heaven? There's no money. There's no act. There's nothing you and I can do because he is perfect. He is pure. If you read about heaven, it is his glory lights the city, and he said, even a lie is an abomination to him. It won't even get near the city. Nothing gets to the city of God that's sinful. There's no trash cans in heaven. There's not a speck of dirt. One time I made a visit to a lady, and I visited her house. I sat down. It was the cleanest house I've ever been in my life. I said, wow. I didn't know if I should sit down. I might wrinkle the seat. And I sat down there and I says, ma'am, I think this might be the cleanest house I've ever seen in my life. I mean, everything was perfect. There wasn't a lampshade crooked. The pictures on the wall looked like they'd been leveled. I mean, everything was perfect. I said, wow. Now, of course, they didn't have kids, okay? Because the mirrors wouldn't have been leveled then. But I noticed as I walked through, I said, wow, this is perfect. She looked at me. She says, yeah. She said, I wash my light bulbs once a month. How many of you ladies do that? Hey, I don't even dust once a month, let alone light bulbs. Now, all of a sudden, I begin to realize, whoa, I better be very careful. Take my shoes off and, you know, wow. Could I sit here? She says, oh, yeah, that's all right. Oh, it wasn't have a seat. It was, yeah, okay. All right, so looking around, I said, sure, I'm glad you came to our church. None of us are like this. I just want you to know this house is unbelievable. And she said, yeah, well, I really try hard at it. I could see. I looked over the light bulb, no dust on it. I'm telling you. I mean, I've never seen a place like that. Well, let me tell you something. She's not even on the radar when it comes to heaven. So that's why when you and I step foot before God and he is holy, we're like Isaiah. Woe is me. Look what he says in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. His holiness caused you to lie to look at ourselves and say, I am nothing before him. I can do nothing to please him. Oh my, there's no good work I could do to even get on first base with him because he's perfect. He didn't wash his light bulbs. There are none. He is the light. It's perfect. So when you and I have the wrong thought, did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. So let me ask this question. How many are sinners in this room now? If the thought of foolishness is sin. If he looks at Dave Pittman and I have the thought of foolishness, let's say I'm driving and somebody pulls over and I say, where's the police officer when you need him? The thought of, that's not the right thing to say. Or anybody ever been driving your car and somebody tries to cut you off and you know, you're the thought. Now, maybe you don't have it, but the thought, it'd be nice if I were in a tank right about now, okay? And I could just pull right over or an 18-wheeler. See those thoughts? They're wicked. Or your wife says something, your husband says something, and you say, she can't say that to me. The thought of foolishness is sin. Not that you said it, but that you thought it. Oh, my parents, I can't. The thought that you had causes God to look at you and say, oh. Do you see how far separated we are from God? Because of his holiness. That is why you can't come and get baptized and get to heaven. That is why you can't come and put $1 million in the offering plate and get to heaven. You can't even get to first base. That is why there's nothing you and I can do because we're sinners. We're ruined. There's nothing we can do to please him. So his love kicked in. And I've told the Lord this, I cannot tell you how many times. Lord, I don't know why you love me, but I'm so thankful. It's not because, Dave Pittman, you're something special. It's just, I love you. It's not because you're tall, dark, and handsome, because you're not. It's not because you're smart and you're this or that, because you're not. It's just, I love you. So if I look at everyone here, Sonny right here, it's not because Sonny's got $1 million. He says, Sonny, I love you because I love you. Kevin, I love you because I love you. There's nothing you've got. So here we are, way over here, behind the wall, the curtains, and nobody can see us because we're sinners. But God says, I see you, and I love you. And his love caused compassion in his heart, and he said, I've got to do something to get rid of this gap between us. Because every one of them is going to have to die and go to hell. Because they can't come to heaven. Because my heaven is perfect. And I am perfect. But I love James. So when you and I pray to a holy God, the next time you and I pray, just think about, he's perfect. So that's why we have to be very careful. We're not frivolous with the perfect God who puts up with us, who puts up with our shenanigans. And somehow, for God so loved the world. I want you to understand something. There's not one person in this room that do you or I deserve the God to love us. But he does. That's why I became a preacher. Because I could tell anybody and everybody I ever see, God loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to come to heaven. And he did something you won't believe. He said, how can I bridge the gap? What can I do? Because in the garden, when he was trying to repair the situation between him and Adam and Eve, he had to slay an animal, and the blood was shed, and he put a coat of animal skins on them, and they figured it out. Then the only thing God accepts is blood. Now, you know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to see this, Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to show you a few verses this morning. So I trust that you'll take your Bible and just take note of this. I want you to see this is God's plan. It's not Pastor Pittman's plan. It's not Temple Baptist Church's plan. It's the plan of God. It's his design to help you and I miss hell and have an opportunity to come to heaven. And there's nothing you and I can do. Notice, if you would, verse 22, verse number 12, Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place. Holy place. You see, notice if you would, and we're going to come back to that in just a second. Entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now look at verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Sin. So in other words, God says, okay, look, I've got to somehow pay Dave Pittman's debt. What can I do? And he looks around and he says, well, I can, until I fix the problem permanently, I'll just have them offer a lamb, because lambs are innocent. They haven't done anything. Their blood's perfect, but it doesn't satisfy my holiness. So man would offer a lamb and it would cover it up. It was sort of like put into escrow all the sins of mankind. Until God said, one of these days, and did you know he thought about the solution the next chapter in Genesis 3:15? I'm going to send Messiah, Genesis 3:15. And then he put together this unbelievable plan to have a people and a tribe, the tribe of Judah, to have David, and his grandchildren, and from that tribe would come Messiah. And he was going to ask his son, his only son, to become a child of the tribe of Judah, and his perfect blood to pay our debt of sin. Now, I got to be frank with you. If I would have been God, I would have figured out another way, but God knows smarter than I am. There is no other way. Perfect blood is the only thing that washes away sin. Brandon's blood, it's not perfect. I've seen him. It's not perfect. John Manchesky, his blood's not perfect. I've seen him. I've even seen his offspring, John over there. They're neither one of them perfect. You see, we pass down traits of sin to our family. We don't pass down perfection. So God has sent his son. And that is why Jesus had to come and live and die. That's why, you know, we've praised Mary. Mary was a nobody. She was just the person that brought the son into this world. We praised Joseph. Joseph was a godly man, but Jesus is the one who pays. He's the Lamb of God. And that is why you can't come to the altar and make promises to God and get saved. That's the reason why you can't get baptized. You can't come and clean the church. You can't do anything. For all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved, and that through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. If we could do one thing to get our little toe inside heaven, we would say, look what I did, because that's our nature. God says, you'll do nothing, I'll do everything, but you have to admit that you've done everything wrong, and you're a sinner. And that you'd like for me to save you. And I'll take my son's blood and apply it to your sin and wash it away. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Next chapter. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice with me if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Look with me if you would in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of goat, of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But you'll notice in verse number 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. Notice verse 14. Don't miss it. For by one offering he hath perfected, made me perfect forever, them that are sanctified or saved. Now how he does it, look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. There never has to be another Lamb of God to die. Jesus paid it all. You remember the song? Jesus paid it all. That's true. That's the reason on the cross he hung there and said, it is finished. What's finished? The payment for sin. So that now anybody in this room that would like to be saved, would like to have your sins blotted out, would like to go to heaven, you come to Jesus Christ. It's between you and him. And you say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but would you come into my heart and forgive me? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And there's no more payment for sin. And I'll make you perfect in my sight because all your sins been paid for. Now, I'm not perfect today, but I am in God's sight. Only he could come up with a master plan to make a sinner as gross as balutes and 10,000 times worse clean. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never come to him and said, Lord Jesus, it's me, I'm a sinner, and I know you're holy, and you can't stand to be around me, but would you take your son's blood, perfect blood. By the way, that's the reason the virgin birth had to be a virgin birth. Because if Joseph were the father of the child, the blood would have been tainted. Because he was human. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. So the seed which was from her was from God himself. So Jesus was born perfect. No sin. And so when Jesus died, his blood was good enough to wash away every sin of everybody that's done something in this room. The question is, will you accept that? You have to throw everything else away, all of your goodness. But Lord, I'm a pastor. When Brandon and I get to heaven, we could have said, if being a pastor had any part of it, Brother Brandon could look to me and say, well, Pastor, you know, I was a pastor for 25 years. Me too, Brandon. We're both pastors and serve the Lord and dedicate our lives. And he said, yeah, that made a difference, didn't it? And we would say, yeah. And the Lord says, so that no one should boast, you can do nothing except receive my gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you've never taken the time to trust Christ as Savior, you must take it this morning, today. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringing forth. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, saith the Lord. Job 22:21. Now, let's just say everybody in this room, we've trusted Christ as Savior for the most part. I'm certain in a crowd this size, there's some people that didn't trust Christ as Savior yet. Maybe you thought so, but there's not peace in your life. Maybe I came forward, but I didn't really get a hold of the Lord. And he and I do business together. The only prayer that God has to hear, that he's obligated himself to hear, is the prayer of the sinner asking for forgiveness. Or the prayers of his children that are trying to do the right thing. He's promised to hear those two prayers. But if you're not saved today, he didn't have to hear your prayers any more than I have to answer the request of my next door neighbor's kid. He comes over and says, hey, Pastor Pittman, I heard you're a good guy. Would you loan me $20? I want to go to get me a Chick-fil-A and a this and a that. And I said, go ask your parents. You know who our parents are? Ye are of your father, the devil, because we act like him. We listen to him in the garden through Adam and Eve. But I want you to understand this morning, the Lord loves you. He wants you to come to him. He would delight. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice more over one sinner that repents than over everybody in this room that does what's right. Now, God's proud of us when we do right, but he rejoices over sinners that trust Christ as Savior. Now, what should we do if we've been saved? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter. I want you to see this verse. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice with me if you will this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to turn after this to Ephesians and we're done. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, this is Peter writing to the saints. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance. Don't make your life like it was when you thought wrong, when your thoughts were foolish, whenever you didn't know the Lord, when you didn't understand that he is holy, but you do now. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. You know what God wants? He wants everybody in this room to be like him, to hate sin, to detest it. If we could get to this point, you'd never have another argument in your home. You'd never have another wicked thought. Now, he says we can be perfectly mature. And when we have those thoughts, we can say, Lord, forgive me for that. And we never have to again say another filthy word. And we can have victory in our lives and we can have victory over our flesh. We don't have to lose our temper again because he says, I'll make a way that you can escape it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, but he says, look, I'm asking you to dedicate your life to be holy, to be like me. How many of us have done that? Lord, I want to be holy like you. Would you protect me from sin that I know hurts your heart and disappoints you and separates between you and us? Now, Jeremy, when he was growing up, he didn't always do the right thing. And when he didn't do the right thing, there was a distance between he and I until we got that settled. But he was always my son because the blood is there. There's my blood's through his veins by birth. So there's nothing I can do to kick him out of being my child, but there's something he can do to make me proud of him. And so he has to choose, do I want to be like dad? Do I want to try to do what's right like dad tries to do what's right? Do I want to be right or do what's, when dad doesn't do what's right, do I want to be like what God wants me to be or like dad? He's got to make that decision. And I'm encouraging everybody in this room, no matter what home you grew up in, look at the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be holy like you. You'll treat your wife right from then on. You'll treat your husband right from then on. You'll be the best worker your boss has ever seen from then on because you're trying to do everything to please him. Nobody will make you do wrong because you want to be holy. It makes you sick at your stomach to think about a lie. It makes you sick at your stomach to want to give somebody a piece of your mind. You become in the image of Christ. You're grown in grace. Now, I want you to see this. Look at me, if you would, in verse number 18 of 1 Peter 1. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you've been bought with a price. He said, therefore glorify yourselves. Glorify your body to be like the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 2, and we'll finish up. Notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. And I realize I've gone through some verses this morning, but I want you to see that it's all there. Notice, if you would, this is Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or you made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's the way we live, of what feels right, feels good. We don't consider what God says as the ultimate law of our life. According to the prince and power of the air, that's the old devil. We lived our lives basically not realizing, but whenever we tell a lie, that's the devil's recommendation. When we cheat, that's the devil's recommendation. When we have an attitude, or we hold a little bit of bitterness, that's the devil's recommendation. Notice, if you would, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We have the attitude of a disobedient child. Among whom we all had our conversation. Everybody on earth had our lifestyle like it. In times past, in fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. We're going to have to die and go to hell. But notice this. Verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I cannot explain to you why that verse is there. I just know it's true. And that's good news for all of us. Because you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get to go to heaven because of Jesus and him alone. I'm going to get to sit in heaven someplace because of Jesus and him alone. Now, the location where I'm going to sit is probably determined about how much I say, Lord, I want to be holy like you. So you can trust Christ as Savior and not live with all of your heart in pleasing Christ, and it'll cost you rewards in heaven. But you can do whatever you want to here in this earth. Now, God's going to correct us because we're his children. But notice, if you would, in verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to save Dave Pittman, and my plan is for him to do what's right. That's God's plan for me. That's why he created me. I made Mimi Key, and my plan is for her that she'll trust me as Savior and do what's right. That's my plan for her. He said, I've created you unto righteousness to do what's right. Today, everybody in this room makes a decision on what makes you sick if you're God's child. Does sin make you sick? Or do you tolerate it? Folks, the farther we get away from the Lord, the more we tolerate sin. And the farther he gets from us, because we smell bad, we think bad, we act bad. The sweetest marriages on earth are between two people that have said, Lord, I want to be like you. Is that your marriage? The finest young people on the face of the earth are young people look and say, Lord, I want to be like you. You can't sin without feeling dirty. You become like Christ. Could I plead with you this morning? I know from experience what it's like to sin on purpose. I know what it, from experience, I've seen what sin does to a family. But I can tell you a little bit of experience what it's like when you're married to somebody that both of you say, I want to do the right thing. Lord, I want to be like you. It is heaven on earth. I got to have a little bit of that. I want you to understand this morning, God wants you to be a light for him. You come into this church, if the power is on in this building, that cross is always lit up. It never goes out. As long as we give a little bit of offering, that light will still be on. It's just a symbol that the light of the world is Jesus. Today, have you trusted him? He loves you more than the world. If you have, then why is it we don't listen? I created you unto good works. Will you live for me so everybody can see you, me, together? They see me in you. That's the holiness of God. It makes him proud of us when we do what's right. It gives us the ability to see the truth and say, Lord, I want to do the right thing. Today, the holiness of God once separated us from the God of heaven. And his desire to bring peace to us brought us all back together again through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how proud of being a Christian are you? Are you willing to be holy like your Father? Be a holy, for I am holy. That's why a Christian lives right. No other reason. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn, Just As I Am. If you need to come this morning, could I encourage you to come? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm a good church member. I've attended church all my life. But there's never been a time, a date in my life where, as Jesus said in John 4, you must be born again. That I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I know it. It's settled for all eternity. I didn't realize that no matter what I do, there's such a hatred toward my sin. There's a love for me, but a hatred toward my sin. And the only way God can fix it is if I come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he'll blot it all out and make us his child. You must be born again, born into his family. If you've not been, would you come this morning? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been born again. I remember it was June 18th, 52 years ago, 20 years ago, 3 years ago. Well, let me ask you this. Why are you living on this earth? I want to be like Jesus. Be holy, for I am holy. The holier we are, the brighter we shine. Today, are you trying to please the Lord? How's your marriage? How's your relationship with your parents? How's your relationship with your teachers? If you're shining brightly, they're in great shape. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and sing. If you need to come, this verse is for you. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts today? We need your tender touch to guide us in what we should do. In your name we pray. Amen.